Welcome, everyone. Get ready for a deep dive that's a little different. We're turning back the clock to 1993, diving into the very first issue of Insectifera, a journal straight out of Gestreland's Sweeting.
Oh, this is a fun one. It's like opening a time capsule, packed with discoveries and a real sense of, well, passion for these little creatures.
Exactly. We're not just talking scientific observations here. This journal gives us local discoveries, those early thoughts about conservation, and a glimpse into, like, the early world of citizen science.
It's amazing how relevant it still feels, even decades later.
Right. So picture Sweden in 93. This group of insect enthusiasts, they get together to form the Gestreklands Entomologiska Förening. GEF for short. And their goal, it was bigger than just collecting bugs.
Oh yeah, they were going beyond traditional entomology, promoting knowledge, protecting those insect populations, and like inspiring the next generation of bug enthusiasts.
And they jump right in sharing some remarkable local findings. One that caught my eye was about a house cricket infestation in Österfärnebo, can you imagine?
Oh, I can practically hear those chirps. But here's the thing, they traced it back to a new heating system, shipped all the way from southern Sweden.
It's like a tiny insect migration. It really shows how interconnected everything is. And speaking of unexpected arrivals, there's that rare beetle, the Uliota planata.
Right, found in aspen logs. Really got the researchers thinking, could it have, like, hitched a ride on imported timber?
Makes you wonder what other tiny travelers are out there. But amidst these discoveries, the journal takes a bit of a somber turn, talking about DDT use in 1954.
Yeah, it's a different world, isn't it? Back then, DDT was like this miracle solution. But then came Rachel Carson and Silent Spring, and, well, things started to change.
Exactly. Now, while the journal touches on these bigger environmental concerns, it also celebrates the, I don't know, the beauty and importance of local biodiversity. They even chose a special location for their first field trip.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where else but Arana Island? A haven for butterflies, especially given it's undergoing land uplift.
Wait, so the land is literally rising from the sea?
Exactly. Creating new habitats all the time, which attracts a huge diversity of insect life. It's fascinating.
That's incredible. And speaking of butterflies, there's this underlying concern for their future throughout the journal.
Yeah, even back then, they were seeing declines. Habitat loss was a huge factor, whether it was intensified agriculture, changes in forestry, or even something as simple as, like, mowing roadsides too early.
It's crazy how these small changes can have such a big impact. But the GEF, they didn't just dwell on the problems, they were already proposing solutions, like changing those mowing practices for starters.
Absolutely. They were all about pushing that mowing back, letting plants flower, letting insects complete their life cycles. Mm-hmm. Just a few extra weeks can make a world of difference.
Right. Every little bit helps. And it wasn't just about when to mow, but how, right? They had some pretty strong opinions about those modern mowing machines.
Oh yeah, those fast spinning blades. Way too destructive, they said. They even contrasted them with, get this, a traditional scythe.
Wow. Talk about a different approach. But it makes you think about how technology, while beneficial, can sometimes have these unintended consequences.
For sure. And they weren't just focused on mowing, were they? Aspen trees were a big talking point as well.
Now, why aspen trees? What's so special about them?
Well, aspen's a keystone species, plays a critical role in supporting all sorts of life. Insects depend on them for food, for shelter, you name it.
Yeah.
Protecting aspen, they argued, was vital for the entire ecosystem.
It all comes back to that interconnectedness. You lose one species and it has this ripple effect. But they went beyond protecting specific species or habitats. They were also questioning those bigger conservation efforts, like nature reserves, for example.
Right. They were skeptical. Like, is just setting aside land enough?
Yeah.
Or does it create this false sense of security, mm-hmm. allowing us to just keep degrading everything outside those protected areas?
Exactly. It's almost like they were pushing for a more fundamental shift in how we view and interact with nature. Not just exploit it, but genuinely coexist.
And that's a message that's more relevant than ever, don't you think?
Totally. It's about recognizing that we're part of this web of life, not separate from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's not all doom and gloom in this journal. The GEF, they also offered those practical tips, things individuals could do.
Oh, yeah. They were big on turning your backyard into like a mini ecosystem, leaving a patch unmowed, planting flowers that attract pollinators. Little things that can make a difference.
It's amazing how those small actions can have that ripple effect. But they also delve into some fascinating research. One that grabbed my attention was about spiders in Gestreland.
Ah, yes. Gunnar Bakken's work. He was really passionate about these, like, often overlooked creatures, highlighting their diversity, the important roles they play.
And he pointed out something interesting, a challenge we still face today. We don't have a complete, up-to-date list of Swedish spiders.
Can you believe that? Even in a country like Sweden. But Bakken saw it as an opportunity. He was all about encouraging citizen scientists to contribute their observations, help fill in those gaps. Love that. Citizen science in action. And speaking of spiders, he couldn't resist diving into the fascinating world of the green huntsman.
Oh, the Nicodamus virescens. Such a cool spider. That bright green camouflage. The way they hunt without webs. Just incredible.
And those eyes. Like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Right. They give the spider this incredibly accurate depth perception. Imagine being a fly, about to be the spider's next meal.
I'd rather not. But it's a good reminder that the insect world, it's full of these incredible adaptations.
Totally. And Bakken didn't stop at their hunting skills. He talked about their, like, maternal instincts, too.
Right.
The females fiercely guarding their eggs, protecting them from predators.
It's a reminder that there's more to their world than just survival of the fittest. There's cooperation, there's care, all these complex relationships.
For sure. Now, while most of the journals sticks to gastric land, there's this one article that takes us on a bit of a detour to the Indian Ocean. Grand Comoro Island, to be precise.
Right. The Graphium levosauri butterfly, the one on the brink.
Sadly, yes. Gern Schoberg, the author, he painted a pretty bleak picture. Limited range, habitat loss, and this reliance on a single rare plant for survival. It's a recipe for disaster.
A perfect storm of threats. What a shame.
It really is. And the last confirmed sighting was in the early 80s. Despite all the searches since then, nothing.
It's a stark reminder that extinction, it's not ancient history, it's happening now. And we're often the ones driving it.
It's true. And what's worse, it often happens quietly, out of sight, out of mind.
And Schoberg, he was particularly frustrated with how the Graphium levosauri was classified, just vulnerable. He argued for critically endangered, and I can see why.
It highlights the challenge of getting those classifications right, especially for species with small ranges, facing these, like, rapidly changing environments.
It's a tough situation, but even with that potential for extinction, Schoberg, he still held on to hope.
He did. He believed that with the right kind of effort, habitat protection, captive breeding, more research, there was still a chance.
A glimmer of hope in a difficult situation. It makes you think about those early entomologists poring over specimens, those intricate details, documenting everything. Their work, it wasn't just about scientific curiosity, was it?
No, not at all. They were laying the groundwork for future conservation efforts, creating a baseline to understand changes, identify threats, and hopefully find ways to protect those incredible creatures.
And their legacy, it lives on through journals like Insectifera, this record of passion, concern, and that drive to understand and protect.
Exactly. And it's a reminder that we're all connected to this web of life. We have a responsibility to these creatures, to the environment, to each other.
And to those future generations. Imagine what those early entomologists would think if they could see the state of the world today, the challenges we face, but also the progress we've made.
I think they'd be heartbroken by the losses, for sure. But maybe, just maybe, they'd also be inspired by the growing awareness, the dedication of so many people, organizations, entire communities working to protect what's left.
Because ultimately, it's a shared responsibility, isn't it?
It really is. Every action, every choice we make, it has an impact. We have the power to be better stewards of this planet, to ensure a future where both insects and humans can thrive. It's a future worth fighting for.
Absolutely. Well said. And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. What small action can you take today to make a difference for these incredible creatures? Even the smallest steps can have a ripple effect. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of Swedish entomology. It's about recognizing that we're all part of this incredible story, this web of life. And journals like this, they remind us that the story's still being written.
So true. And it's a story with so many chapters. Speaking of which, there's one more article I wanted to touch on. It's like a history of insect research in gastric land.
Oh, yeah. Johan Hojer's work. He created this amazing timeline tracing entomological knowledge through, what, publications and research?
Exactly. And you'd be surprised how far back it goes. He found references dating back to the early 1900s, articles in some pretty prominent scientific journals of the time.
It's fascinating to think about those early studies. What were they focused on back then?
Oh, all sorts. Butterflies, beetles, spiders, even water bugs. They weren't limiting themselves. It's like they were laying the foundation for everything that came after.
Driven by that pure curiosity, the need to understand even the smallest creatures.
Absolutely. And Hojer's timeline, It's not just a list of discoveries. It also shows how our attitudes have changed towards insects, towards the environment, the whole picture. He even found this article from 1939 in a local newspaper praising amateur entomologists.
Wow, so even back then, citizen science was getting recognized.
It was. It shows that this fascination with insects, it wasn't just happening in labs and universities. It was out in the world, everyday people contributing.
It's a good reminder that we all have a role to play. And this journal, it captures that spirit perfectly.
It really does. This deep dive into Insectifera, it's been fascinating, hasn't it? We've gone from local discoveries to global concerns, from the intricate details of insect life to those big questions about conservation and our place in it all.
And throughout it all, that passion shines through. The passion for these creatures, the passion for understanding them, protecting them.
And that's what I hope our listeners take away from this, that sense of wonder, that sense of responsibility.
Because even though this journal is from decades ago, the message feels more urgent than ever, don't you think?
Absolutely. We have so much to learn from the past, from the work of these dedicated individuals. Their insights are invaluable as we navigate the challenges of today.
And it's on all of us, isn't it? To take that knowledge, that passion, and turn it into action.
It is. Whether it's making small changes in our own backyard, supporting organizations doing incredible work, or simply taking the time to appreciate the buzzing, crawling, flying world around us, every little bit helps.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This has been an incredible journey through the world of Swedish entomology. Thanks to everyone for joining us for this fascinating deep dive. Until next time.